So I've entitled my sermon this morning, No Wrath, But Reconciliation. Today we will finish looking into our benefits of being justified by faith, as we've seen in verse number 1. And so for just a moment, I want to review our benefit package. Starting with verse number 1, the Apostle Paul said, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We should, if you have been listening and paying a little bit of attention, you should be able to list, except for you, Brad, let you slide today, and Hannah, but you should be able to list these benefits that's included in our package. I guarantee you, if you were working at the post office or you're working through by the city or working somewhere else, Brother Bud, I had a time to fellowship with him. He's telling me about his days, some of his days as a postmaster. You probably stayed up on the benefit package, you know, and knew when things was going your way and maybe when things weren't going your way and anywhere else. So we, as born-again Christians, we should know what is in our benefit package because of being justified by faith. So verse number 1 says that we have this peace with God. So we have, because of being justified by faith, we now have this wonderful peace that we enjoy. And then in verse number 2, by Jesus Christ, we have access. We have access into, or by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. So we have this wonderful, not only do we have peace with God, but we have this wonderful access that at a moment's notice, at the drop of a hat, at just any time, midnight, early morning, whatever, we have this wonderful access. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace at any time, at any moment. And I thought about some of those believers that went home to be with the Lord the other day. Wasn't it wonderful before their name was called to be able to go to the throne of grace and receive the grace to be able to answer in the affirmative, yes, I'm a Christian. We have that same. If you're a believer, you've been justified by faith, but yet we do not utilize that. We do not take advantage of that access as we should. It's shame on us. But we have this wonderful access with this wonderful peace and access. Also, verse number 2, we see that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have this joy. We are able to rejoice in the things of the Lord. And if that was not enough, we find this wonderful ability, also in verse number 3, to glory in tribulation. So we have peace with God. We have this wonderful access to the very throne room of God. We have this joy, this rejoicing in our hearts, but we also can glory and rejoice, the same word, rejoice in tribulation. Because we know that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Amen. What a wonderful package that we have. And then the next time we go around, as we mature, as we grow, and we allow, as we read over there in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, that all things, we know that all things work together for the good. Most of our time, we don't allow it to work together before we start complaining. Yeah. I mean, I love Sister Amanda. I would like to watch her make her that carrot cake that's, you know, weighs about 18 pounds when you do it. I think she has about four dozen eggs and maybe a couple of chickens in there. I don't know, but it's heavy. But I would like to see her mix, work it together. I bet you halfway through there, it's still good. But I would suggest you just go ahead and let it work all together and get baked, and put that cream cheese. Is it cream cheese icing? And now, cream cheese is one of them things you can put on anything and make it taste good. But let it work together. You and I, we need to allow those things, and we do that through maturity. But we have the ability to glory, to rejoice in tribulation. Then having, as we looked at last week in verse number 5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now I'm going to add, next week, I said we've seen a seven-prong or seven things in this benefit package, but I'm going to add next week this Holy Ghost that has been given to us. And I want us to look and see what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. And so we're going to take a couple of Sunday mornings and look at that. But that's going to be also included. Because over in John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Amen. There's a lot of, I can't get there either. Oh man, I got to stay with my notes this morning, all right? A lot of things going through my old head right now, my heart. And today we want to consider this thought of no wrath, but reconciliation. So we start at verse number 9. Let me read it again. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now I want us to note the first part of verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified. We read last week in verse number 8 that while we, all of us, that word we, that includes everyone, small, big, little, pretty, ugly, you know, all of us. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about it. Yet sinners, and without God, Christ died for us. It wasn't that we were trying to do any better. We weren't trying to reform. We were sinners. We were without God. We were without hope. And yet, Christ died. He loved us enough to die for you and I. When we had no justification, when we had no merit, and when we had no worthiness, the Lord Jesus died for us upon a gold rugged cross. Verse number 9 says, much more then, being now. I think of that song, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Much more then, being now. Once I was without God, but now I have God. I was a sinner, but now, amen. Sometimes we need to look back and see where God brought us from, amen. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Sister Sarah, I think about it from time to time. I could have been anywhere. I could be in hell right now. You don't know what I was like whenever I was growing, and the circumstances I found myself in. I should be in prison. You look at the statistics. A single parent home without a father and without all. I should be on death row. But yet, by God's wonderful, amazing grace. I stand before you today trying my best to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once had no, was without God, but now I have Him. I was a sinner, but now I've been made righteous, being justified by His blood. Amen. We ought to just take a 30-minute recess and rejoice. Amen. We live in a day and a time when many religious leaders, they scoff at the blood atonement. They mock the gospel of the blood atonement in the substitutionary and vicarious death of Jesus Christ on the cross for in our place and in our stead. But we are here to say to all the scoffers today, this message is going out around the world. I just got an email last week from, hit me with his first name, Benin, Mr. Benin. I wish I had it right in my head. I don't. Halifax, Nova Scotia, I think. There might be another Halifax somewhere else. But he said for 3 years he's been listening. So this goes out, and I don't know where it's going. But I'm here to say to all the scoffers that may be out there, it's still the blood that saves from sin. Amen. Still the blood that saves from sin. Men today say that they can work out their own salvation. And the old idea of blood atonement is out of date. But we are here to say that the Bible still tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse number 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. We believe what the Scripture says in relation to the blood atonement. The Bible has many very clear statements about Christ's blood. I was reading some of them this morning, going over in my mind. First of all, it's innocent blood. Over in Matthew chapter 27, we have three witnesses in that one chapter. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Pilate's wife said, don't have anything to do with this man. I've suffered many things tonight because he's a just man. And then Pilate himself said, I wash my hands of this innocent man's blood. It was the testimony of three very unlikely men, three very unlikely people, Judas and Pilate's wife and Pilate himself. Innocent blood. It was also shed blood. He bled for me. He shed His blood for you and I. Peter called it precious blood. In 1 Peter, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood. Peter had it right. 1 John 1 and verse number 9 calls it cleansing blood. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are here today to let the world know that we still fly the bloodstained banner. Why did Jesus do this? To show forth God's love. We have it in Romans 5 and verse number 8. But God commended, that means demonstrated, commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now in verse number 9, to save men from God's wrath. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, while we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Think about it. Think about this. This includes present day wrath. Yeah. Turn with me, if you would, over to John chapter 3, verse number 36. These are the words of Christ. I'm not making this up. Jesus Christ said it. John chapter 3 and verse number 36. Jesus said, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not only are we going to be saved from the wrath to come, but we're saved from the present day wrath. Paul said over in Romans chapter 1 that the wrath of God has been revealed against all ungodliness. It also includes tribulational wrath. You need to go over and reread Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. Thank God I'm not going to be around. Amen. I really don't believe. I believe before that time happens, the trump of God's going to sound, Bradley, and we won't have to fight to get in line. We're both all caught up together. Amen. I believe that. I don't know how much we will see, but I do not think we're going to see any of that great tribulation. We'll see tribulation. We're told we can actually glory in some tribulation. Who'd ever thought in America these things are going to be happening for the cause of Christ? Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 10, and to wait for His Son, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Tribulational wrath. Paul also said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse number 9 says that we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Present day wrath, tribulational wrath, and most importantly, eternal wrath. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb, in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Eternal wrath. Thank God, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I know this better than I know my own social security number. I know my name has been recorded. Amen. Not because I deserved it, not because I'm a somebody, but because He is everybody, everything. By grace, through faith, being now justified. Almost 50 years. I got saved when I was 7 years old. I'll be 57, my birthday. 50 years. And my name's not faded. Amen. It's just as clear today as it was the day I... ask Him as a seven-year-old boy to come into my heart. I put my faith, I put everything I had in Him. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is absolutely no way for a man to become justified and reconciled to the holy God except by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, you may scoff, laugh, poke fun at the blood. You may even try to bypass the blood. You may even trample the blood under your own feet. But you will spend a Christless eternity in a devil's hell. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for Satan and the demons. And if you go to hell, you'll go to hell trampling the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. Scoff me all you want. Mock the preaching from this pulpit. Criticize New Hope Baptist Church. But we still insist, without shedding the blood, is no remission. Much more then, Paul goes on to say, being now justified by works? No. By deeds? No. By the law? No. But by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through our Lord's work on Calvary. So, the sixth benefit of this package of being justified by faith is, verse number 9, saved from wrath through Christ. Look at verse number 10. Paul says, "For if, when we were enemies, when we were lost without God, when we were without hope," it says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." It's a wonderful feeling to be reconciled. For many years, from the time I was 3 years of age until I was 23, I had not been reconciled to my father. He left home. I never saw him again until I was 23 years old. Never got a birthday card. My mama surely never got a child support check. Back in those days, all you had to do was go across the border, the state, and one state didn't have jurisdiction over the other back in those years. Now, they track down deadbeat dads. But I had a deadbeat dad. I had a drunkard for a dad. Thank God for a godly mama that said, "I ain't putting up with this. It's either us or the highway." I look back now, and I'm able to glory in that tribulation. Because it was God's plan. God was working in my life. I didn't even know it. 20 years later, because of the work of God in my own heart, I was able to sit down at the table, across the table from my father, my flesh and blood. And I looked an old, bald-headed man in the eyes. And sister, I was able to say, "I love you." It wasn't one drop of my love. All of that love was from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it had been shed abroad in my heart. I was able to say, I love you. And I want you to know my Heavenly Father. You never cared whether I had a roof over my head or food on the table. But He said, son, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's provided for everything. We left that meeting. I took him by the hand. And I hugged him. And from that time till the day he died. Now, we didn't go fishing together. We didn't have that kind of a relationship. But there was a reconciliation. Because to a child of God, we've been given the ministry, the work of reconciliation. I hope, and then later on, I had a missionary to call me. He said, I just want to let you know, I was going door to door in Forest City, Maryland, and I knocked on a man's door, and his name is Richard Inslee. He said, I just want to let you know, your dad trusted Christ. One of these days, that reconciliation is going to be complete. I never saw him again. We have verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Our Lord's life was one of obedience. Our Lord's life was one of sacrifice. Our Lord's Our Lord's life was that of the Lamb of God who came purposely and deliberately to give that life and to lay it down to pay our sin debt. Watch those other two thieves cursing and fighting, frailing around. But that man on that middle cross laid his life down. No man took it. No man took it. But Bradley laid down and stretched out his hands. And they drove those Roman spikes. How much do I love you? Being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, so now we're talking about reconciliation. We missed the wrath. That's wonderful. But now we're talking about reconciliation. I was so separated from God, I needed somebody able to take God by one hand and reach down into the gutters of sin with the other. And He reconciled us. He brought us together. We were enemies. We were without God and without hope. Now we're talking about reconciliation. The word reconciliation implies the barriers have been brought down. The middle wall of partition that once separated us has been broken down, tore down. There is nothing that separates us from God. We have been reconciled, adopted into His family, being made His children. John chapter 1, verse number 12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Think about it. Us, the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So reconciliation is part of this wonderful benefit package of being justified by faith. Look at verse number 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now, did you know that here is the first and the only time the word atonement appears in the New Testament? Do you know that? It's the first time and it's the only time that it appears in the New Testament. If anything should bring us joy, it should be this part of the benefit package. Within myself, I have nothing that I can joy in. Everything I am and all that I possess in this world is only temporal. Temporal. We have nothing to glory in as far as this world is concerned. We may have things that bring us delight. We delight in our family. Oh, thank God for my family. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my son. I delight. I'm proud to say that woman belongs to me. And how lucky I am. For 37 years. I delight in my son. I have to contain myself sometimes. I had a lady come up to me and she just bragging about my boy. And I felt like a peacock. I wanted to strut it. I had to try to be show a little bit of humility. Well, I do. I delight. Now, he doesn't always do everything that makes me happy. But I do have some things that I delight in this world. And we may have some things that bring us delight, our family, our church. I delight. One of my biggest delights is to have the ability to pastor such a wonderful, caring group of people. The other day, by way of Facebook, there was some pictures put on, and there was some of our ladies sitting at the cafe, and they went on a shopping spree, and I got to looking, and I got to looking at the kids that they were raising, and I thought, what a lucky pastor I am. And I'm not big on luck. If I had to depend on my luck, but what a fortunate pastor I am. I don't want to be proud in a bad way, but I'm glad to say that was some of my folks. Because of their faithfulness and because of their love for Christ and because. There's some things that bring us delight. I delight in the blessings of God, but the joy that I have this morning does not come from this world. Doesn't come from this world at all. The joy that I have comes from the realization that I am justified, reconciled, saved in the wonderful grace of God. Whew. Let me close with this thought. Note the last clause, the last part of verse number 11. By whom we have now received the atonement. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this to be very significant, that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, the Apostle Paul did not say that we have now received an atonement, but he said that we have received the atonement. The word atonement is from the Old Testament economy. That's why you only find it one time in the New Testament. And it's here. From the Old Testament economy and not a New Testament reality. Atonement means that the sins of a person who brought a lamb to the brazen altar. Remember the tabernacle, and there was one way in. There's only one way in today. That's through the Lord. And the first place you come to when you enter is at the altar. And every person that brought a lamb to that brazen altar, that man, that person, their sins was atoned for. And that reality means that the inevitable judgment is now postponed for 1 year. Just postponed for 1 year. That Passover lamb had to be sacrificed every single year. Think about how many lambs died. How much blood was spilled. All 1,400 years in that dispensation we call the dispensation of the law. Every year the Passover lamb had to be brought. And actually before the law, God established that way back there in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned and he killed an animal, blood was shed. He began to establish this thing of atonement. Every year the Passover lamb had to be brought. The people had no choice. They could not bring one Passover lamb every 2 or 3, maybe 10 years. They had to bring the Passover lamb on the Day of Atonement. The Passover lamb provided an atonement. And the judgment that surely one day would fall upon them as a guilty sinner was postponed by virtue of that sacrifice. You see, no sins of any Jew at that time were forgiven by the Passover lamb. There was no forgiveness, just postponed. All the Passover lamb could do was to produce atonement. And the atonement was simply a postponement of the inevitable judgment. When Christ died, the atonement was now done. And all the judgment and all the wrath and all the hell that the sinner deserved fell upon Jesus Christ. Remember our Lord's words on that cross? It is finished. She likes to steal my thunder. It is finished. Not another Passover lamb had to be slain. Because the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, it is finished. His atonement was infinitely greater than any other atonement that Israel ever knew about. Now here's my question to you. Has Christ been made your atonement? If you were to die, we don't know. Those students that went into that college the other morning had no idea that by whatever time that morning was, imagine hearing that man say, good, you're a Christian, you're going to meet God in just a second. Pow. Some, I pray, that died that day and as the moment's notice turned to Christ. Some of them weren't even asked a question. They were just shot upon entrance. It was after he took control of the situation and no one was getting in and no one was getting out that he started asking the questions. You may never be asked a question, but I'm asking you right now. You know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Because in the next hour, death could visit.